But if you have your Bibles, hope you'll open up and follow along. As you come this morning, I can only imagine what must be on your minds. And we're not going to entertain all that this morning because I'm sure you've replayed it in your head. So we think about all the things that go on around about us. The COVID thing was something that really was something we surely did not expect and never heard of or ever seen. And we tried to work our way through that, and it surely has had an impact upon our life. Here recently with the killing of this man and the riots and the things that's going on all over our country and the condition our nation is in and the things that are happening, our minds are turned toward those things, and probably we dwell on them more than we should. I was talking to someone a while ago, we were talking about TV and talking about and trying not to have it on as much as no more than they had to, because that's not something that we want to dwell on and think about a great deal. However, today in my passage scripture, I believe it goes right along with us as we turn to Romans chapter 9. In this passage, we find that Paul opens his heart and gives us a glimpse to what's inside of his heart. Paul, he bears his deepest and most precious desire in his life in this passage of Scripture here this morning. And I looked at it and I thought, man, if this is Paul's desire and his passion, how much more should it be ours? And so this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of how to pray for the lost. You know, today the most important people in the world to us ought to be lost people. Lost people that do not know Christ, lost people that unless they accept Christ, they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Listen to what Paul said. He said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness of the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Listen to this. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together and open the Word of God. And Lord, when we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of what a great man he was, but then we think of all the things that he endured. We think of all the things that he went through, and the various opposition that he received along the way as he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet in these passages of Scripture before us this morning, he bears his heart and his desire and the whole reason of his being and the reason of his ministry and the reason of his service and the reason he called himself a bondslave is because it was his desire to see people saved by the grace of God for which Jesus died for in order that they might have eternal life. Lord, I pray this morning that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our lives. Lord, help us to be receptive to the truth of the Word of God. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I'd venture to say that oftentimes when people pass away, we often feel sorry that they passed away. We pray for the family. But I wonder how often that we really stop and think about where that person is going to spend eternity. Now, friend, I believe that Jesus said that his main ministry, his heart, was to seek and to save that which was lost. Likewise, we find the Apostle Paul, by the way, the life of the Apostle Paul was no picnic. He did not live the easy life. He did not have it made. He didn't grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth as such. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28 said. He said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now understand, when you read that, you must realize that the Apostle Paul probably has experienced and suffered more than you and I ever have suffered in our lifetime. We see that he saw all kind of opposition. He was beating. He was abused. But yet, we come to this passage of Scripture. And by the way, Romans is an outstanding book. All the Bible is outstanding. But Romans is a great book about the matter of salvation and the need of salvation. But we come to this chapter, and Paul reveals to us, literally, in spite of the powerful enemies that wanted him dead, spending much time as being a prisoner of the Jews and of the Romans, after being beaten and stoned to death, Paul was hated, mistreated, misused, and misaligned by his enemies. Yet all those burdens that he carried, there's one burden that outweighed all those burdens, and it was his desire to see people saved by the grace of God. I believe today, as it's been rightfully said, only one life to assume be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. I say to you today that anybody that is lost can get saved as long as they have breath in their body and a desire to confess their sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day may come when that last breath may be drawn, and there'll not be another opportunity for you to get saved by the grace of God. And yet you say, well, preacher, I can't do anything about that. Oh, there is something you can do about it. You need to be concerned about people that are lost. You need to be praying for people that are lost. You need to be witnessing to people that are lost in order that they might be saved by the grace of God. Now, in Romans chapter 1 through verse number 8, chapter number 8, we find the Apostle Paul had been laying out the fact about salvation. He has very plainly told us that salvation is not something that we can earn on our own. It's not something that we can get by being good or doing any certain thing. But he showed us that salvation is based in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our sin. He's told them that they need to be, and even though many of them rebelled against what he was teaching, and it went against the teaching that they had been taught all through the years, yet he laid it out that the fact is, every person born in this world, the Bible said in John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Friend, it makes no difference who you are this morning or who anybody is, and everybody, when I see the thousands of people on television, I understand that every one of them has a soul. I understand that every one of them has a soul that will spend eternity somewhere or the other. I don't know, some man's wife, I don't even know who she is, but it was in the news this week. She said she had sold her soul. I tried to read it. I couldn't understand what she was selling it to. But I tell you today, you don't have to sell your soul. You need to give your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior. So Paul is clearly teaching here that whosoever, anybody that wants to be saved, can be saved. There are some people in the world who say, well, I don't know if I'm one of the ones. Well, of course you are. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that. We know today, the fact is, it's a terrible teaching that we have to think about this, but lost people die and utterly go to an awful place called hell. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story that we've made up. It is a fact, and it speaks to those who are lost in sin. You say, well, where do I come in with that? Here's where you come in with it. It's our responsibility when we bring families into this world as a mom or a dad to train them up in the way they should go, to teach them the Word of God, but most of all, teach to them the way of salvation. I think it's important today that everybody know that all their children are saved. Wouldn't it be an awful thing this morning not to know that your children were saved? And again, they may not be, and that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'll get there in a minute, but that's why we need to pray for that. But we need to understand that we need the heart that Paul had. We need the desire that he had. And friend, let me tell you something. God is still in the prayer answering business, and God is still able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think if we put our faith and trust in him. Bottom line is we rub shoulders every day with people. They'll spend eternity in hell if they don't get saved by the grace of God. I would venture to say that some of you have worked with people through the years that you went into work one day and they said, You ain't going to believe this, but so-and-so died yesterday. And you're going to say, oh, that's terrible. But the question we ought to be asking, did I do anything to help them to know that there was a place prepared for those who put their faith and trust in Him? You see, today God invites us to come into His presence. He said in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and help in the time of need. Friend, today Jesus said, he that cometh to me, listen, I will in no wise cast out. It's not a matter of whether you feel like you can be saved or not. It's a matter of whether you will be saved because of your desire. God promises to hear us when we call. In Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Friend, I don't know about you, but I tell you today, I want to know some things. I want God to reveal some things to me. And I believe God stands ready to reveal to us His truth from the Word of God. But the first thing we got to do is call upon Him and ask Him to do it. Now again, I would say this morning, we cannot convict the lost. I can't make people. I could sing 500 verses in the invitation, and there could be lost people in the building, and they may never let go and come forward and get saved. And by the way, I wouldn't do that. I can tell you this. I think you've known me long enough. I don't have a long invitation unless God's working and people's at the altar praying. And when people's at the altar praying, we'll stay here as long as we need to pray. Because I tell you, we need to get back to the altar and be doing some praying, especially praying for the lost. But yet, if nobody comes, I'm going to shut it down. I'm not going to drag it out. Listen, if God's speaking to your heart about something in your life, get it right. Do it. Step out. Let God know that you're willing to do what He'd have you to do. We cannot make them bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, but one day He'll make them bow, because He said every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We cannot save them. Literally, there's nothing we can do to get them saved except we can share the gospel, and we should. But the most powerful key we have, friend, even before we share the gospel with them, we ought to have been bathing that thing in prayer before we ever approach them, because it's God that has to do the drawing to bring them to the place they need to be. I'm going to have to hurry along in order to get through this morning, but the first thing I want you to notice about this, how can we pray for the lost? Well, to pray with a broken heart. Go back to verse number 1. Look at that. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Some people upon hearing Paul's message probably would be tempted to say, man, you're preaching something strange. In fact, what's interesting to me is there's people that have lived in the United States of America for years, and they've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And sometimes it's not because they haven't been to church. It's because the church where they went did not give a clear presentation of the gospel. Friend, today, I believe my job is to reveal to you the truth of what Jesus said He would do for those who are lost in their sin. And as they listened to Him and as they looked at Him, they probably said, man, He's crazy. What is He talking about? Now, He was dealing with the sins of both Jews and Gentiles. It was bad enough, one group at a time, but to be dealing with them in the same way. But here's what He does. He turns the gaze from the Jews and the Gentiles to His own people, the lost people, the nation of Israel, the people that He literally grew up with and the people that was all around Him. After scalding condemnation of Judaism and the futility of a religious system, some Jews may have felt that they were utter outcasts, but Paul wanted to remind them, listen, folks, the message is bad. The news is bleak, but I got to tell you something. When we get to the end of the road and the message is bleak, he said there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to die in our sin. We can get it by forgiveness of Him. Paul wants them to know that He loves them. In verse 1, he stresses, I say the truth in Christ. In other words, he said, I'm telling you the truth. And friend, God being my witness this morning, I'm here to tell you the truth. And the truth is not something I dreamed up. The truth is what the Word of God says. and I hold it, I do not hold it lightly in my hand. He tells the Jews that his burden for them is real. He cares about them. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time, but I remember one time there was a preacher, and he went and he witnessed to a man over and over and over again, and the man rejected and rejected and rejected, but one day he took an evangelist by with him to the house, and he said, the evangelist said, well, let me talk to him. And the man began to witness to him, and the man began to reject him, but this man began to weep. The evangelist began to weep, and he got on his knees, and he cried, and he prayed for that man, and he prayed for salvation. And that day, that man trusted Christ because he saw that somebody had a broken heart for him. And I wonder how long it's been since your neighbor or your friend or your family or your loved ones have seen you weeping over the condition of their lost condition and their need of salvation. He wants them to come to Christ. He wants them to have the hope of salvation. He was brokenhearted. He did not want them to remain in their sins. He wanted them to hear the gospel, but not only hear the gospel, but to believe the gospel. He wanted all of Israel to be saved, and it was his desire. And I'm going to get there in a minute, but look back down at verse 3. Here's the crux of the whole thing. Paul said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know what he said? He said, I'm willing, if need be, to die and go to hell. If that's what it takes. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. We read it a while ago. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. Now, friend, I know, listen, we tell people all the time, it'd be hard for me to give my son for you to go to heaven. It'd just be hard. I just be quite honest with you. I'm glad God gave his son in order that I could go to heaven. But friend, have we got to the point in our life that we want to see people saved so bad that we'd be saying, if need be, and we know that's not going to happen, and we know that Paul wasn't going there. Somebody said, well, he knew he wasn't going there, so that's why he said that. No, I believe he was as sincere as he could possibly be. He said, I would be willing to go to hell if all my kinsmen could get saved by the grace of God. Oh, wouldn't that be quite a statement? We need the same level of brokenness. We need to be sensitive to the needs of those around about us that know not Christ. We believe these things are true because the Bible tells us they're true. We know that to be true doesn't affect us like it should. If it's true, then man, we ought to be doing everything in our power to get the gospel out. We ought to be inviting people, and I mean literally, if we can't get them saved, but we could bring them to the house of God where they could hear a message, and hopefully the Holy Spirit of God would convict them, get them saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you, the church of our day is in desperate need of brokenness over our own sins and the eternal fate of those that die daily without the Lord Jesus Christ. I've thought about it. I've sat one time and just in my mind thought about the number of people that die every day. And I believe many of them are ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved and absent from the body, is present with the Lord. But unfortunately, there's some that are falling off into hell every day. And we're missing it. Oh, we knew them. They was good friends. We sure hate they died. But listen, it ought to break our heart if we don't know where they're going to spend eternity to the point that it would affect us to do something about it. Friend, today, I think what's going on today in our society is wrong, wrong, wrong. But those people are motivated. Crazily, they're motivated in doing what they're doing. But God help us to get motivated about doing what God called us to do in this place. And I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing, but I believe with the COVID and all this other, I believe there's people that are realizing that the Bible's being fulfilled and that maybe something is about to happen. And I believe I've seen some interest in God, in the things of God. I was in a store the other day. I stopped and got me a hot dog, and Susan and I was sitting there eating it, and a man said, "Hey, Reverend, how you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing fine." I didn't know him. I didn't remember him. And he said, "I visited your church back in 2009. And I said, "Well, you got a good memory. You remember me." But we began to talk. And we was talking about the way things are and what's happening. And he too agreed, "I believe the Lord's coming back." Do you know today, we sit here and we say, "What are we going to do? People won't come, and we can't get everybody into church, and we can't go to camp, and we can't do this, and we can't do that." Why don't we just understand that we can still pray, and we can still share the gospel, and let's trust God that He could do something great in our church as a result of the things that have transpired if we could get a broken heart for people around us that are lost in their sin. Pray with a broken heart, but second of all, pray with a burdened heart. Most people of our day don't even know what a burden is. Paul said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. The word great heaviness means to experience pain, distress, sadness, and sorrow. Continual sorrow speaks of a permanent state of grief. Unceasing anguish of the soul. Paul confesses that he's experienced continual sadness and grief when he thinks of the loss, when he thinks of where they're going to spend eternity. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the people of the Middle East when they mourn, but they're very vocal in their grief. We find to listen to them, they wail and they weep as if their very souls were being ripped out of their bodies. Paul wants his readers to know that he's serving the Lord with joy. But he's operating under the heaviness of a burden for people that have not been saved and not going to heaven. I'll tell you one thing I loved about our bus ministry is some of those kids we used to bring, they probably would never have the opportunity to hear about Jesus except some Sunday school teacher tell them or some junior church worker teach them, or they hear it through the preaching of the Word of God. I'm grateful today that hopefully through the years we've seen people saved as a result of our ministry, and that's what we've tried to do. But for everyone that we've seen saved, there's millions more that are going to spend eternity separated from God forever unless we get a burden for their sin, for their loss. He was under constant burden. It weighed heavily on him. And I tell you, this is the kind of burden that we need. We need to quit playing the game. And people play games today, but we talk about raising our families, we talk about loving the Lord, and we talk about attending worship, and people say, "Boy, I sure am glad to be back at church." And that's all wonderful. But lost people dying and go to hell ought to be the major thing on our mind, apart from putting Jesus first. When was the last time you were moved to think about men or women or boys and girls that were going to hell? It's a sad fact today, but it's the truth. We're sorry that they're lost, and we're sorry that they die, but what have we done about it? I think at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't know how, even at the great white throne judgment, if we're able to witness that. I wonder, some people, that they might look at us and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" And yet at that time, it'll be too late, and he'll say, "Sorry, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Thirdly and lastly, pray with a burning heart. Paul makes a statement in this verse that's totally astonishing to me. It's astonishing to read. He said, "I would allow myself to be separated from God and sentenced to hell if it would save the lost Jews." He's not joking. He meant every word of what he said. Now, he knew he was eternally secure in the Lord. He knew he was saved. He knew exactly what it took to be saved. But he had a burden that gripped his heart, that ached in his life. I'm grateful today for the hope that I have. I'm glad for Mom and Dad that took me to church. And I'm glad for Mom and Dad that had trusted Christ. And all the life that they lived, I remember they served God and were faithful to Him. And oh, I'm so glad. I tell you today, my heart would be so broke if I didn't think I could see my mom and dad again. But I tell you, I'm not worried about it because I know where they are. And I've got a son that I know I remember the very night that he trusted Christ as his Savior. I've got two sisters that made professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when I lay down at night, I lay down restfully and peacefully. Because as far as I know, my immediate family will be together in heaven. My daddy used to like that song, "I Want Us to Be Together in Heaven." And I tell you today, there ought to be our desire today that we as a group of people in the family of God, that one day we would be around the throne of God together. This is our family. And this is the people that we worship with, the people that we loved. And thank God today that they have been saved by the grace of God. But what about those that are lost and away from God forever? How many of us could honestly say that our heart just burns for the salvation of somebody? Have we reached the place to where we've been so burdened that we'd be willing to pray, "Lord, whatever it takes to save that person, I'd be willing to do it. Whatever it takes, I'm willing to lay my life down. I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order that, even if it means stricken with an illness, in order to get the attention from the Lord, even if it means to perhaps even die, whatever it takes for my people not to go to hell." Friend, I submit to you this morning, when our burdens grow, the place that collapses beneath its weight, we will pray that kind of prayer when we really get burdened about those that are lost. When our burden consumes us, we'll be willing to be anything, do anything, suffer anything, to pay any price. We will pray that kind of prayer. When the Lord's people carry that kind of fire in their souls, we'll see the Lord speak to the hearts. Listen to what Isaiah 66:8 says. "As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Ladies that have bore children, only you could relate to that word travail, because it refers to a woman in the painful throes of childbirth. The burden of her carrying the child, it develops in her and is nearing the end. And that mother begins a battle with her own body. She struggles as she enters into the very jaws of death. And even some mothers have lost their lives giving birth to their children. But that mother places her life on the line. And I tell you today, the birth of that child, the efforts. And I've heard of this. I've heard where the story is. The doctors say we can save the mother or we can save the child. And the mother says, "Save the child." Because she had gone through the travails and the heartache. And you know, that ought to be the same travail of our soul today as a church. We've been raised together to hear the Word of God, but we ought to be at the point in our life to where we want to see birth into the family of God, people that will trust Christ as their Savior, be born again, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt they're saved by the grace of God. Friend, it's not a difficult thing to do. It's no trick questions to it. It's simply repenting, confessing, believing, and trusting Christ as your Savior. You see, Lord, whatever it takes. I've got a family member. I've got a neighbor. I've got a friend. And I want them to be saved. And I'm going to pray with a broken heart. I'm going to pray with a burdened heart. I'm just going to pray the best I can. And I'm going to pray hard that you might work in and through their life. And my heart, it burns within me for those people to be saved. I read this story. It's in an illustration. True story. One time there was a revival in a church, and a man's wife attended, and of course her husband was a drunk and abusive husband, and she loved God, but he refused to hear the gospel. He was a vile man, had no use for church or for God. When her husband brought this to her attention, she replied, "I'm too burdened to..." Well, actually, they went home to eat, and she took the evangelist with her. She only set two plates, one for the evangelist and one for her husband. Her husband brought it to her attention and said, "Where's your plate?" She said, "I'm too burdened to eat. How can I eat when I know that any breath might be your last? And if you die, you'll go to hell. I shall not eat any more food until the day you come to Christ as your Savior, but I shall pray for you and for your soul." He responded by laughing in her face, and he told her that he would never be saved. But a few days later, God used that burdened lady's heart and her willing to sacrifice that he changed her hard-hearted husband, and he came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Friend, when people, and that doesn't happen, that's not every case, and I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. That's what she felt led to do. But I can tell you this, God works in strange ways when he sees our concern and our care for people that are lost. Oh, how our hearts ought to burn for those who do not know the Lord. May we be willing to reach the place to where we'll pray for our lost family, our friends, our neighbors. Brokenhearted, burdened, and with a burning heart, that we pray for God to touch their lives. Friend, I'd venture to say, I'm just saying, I don't know this. This is just what I'm saying. But I'd venture to say that most of us spend very little time calling the names of lost people. I'm not saying you don't pray for lost people, because I believe you do. But do we do it enough that God sees the sincerity of our heart? There's lost everywhere. They're in our families. Sometimes they're in our own homes. We work with them. We play with them. We live next door to them. We hope with them. We dine with them. We're literally surrounded by people that are lost and need Christ. What we do to reach them with the gospel. Fact is, a little more than we can do except pray. We can witness. We can do what we can to try to witness. But prayer is the most important thing. You remember the rich man? The Bible said of the rich man, he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father." Now listen, he died and he went to hell. And he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him," talking about send Lazarus, the beggar, "send him to my father's house." He said, "For I have five brethren." He said, "If somebody would go and testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment." The rich man, after he died and went to hell, got a burden. But wouldn't it have been good if he'd have got a burden before he went to hell? And yet, as Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father, hey, Abraham." But he said, "If one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent." And he said unto them, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." That conversation highlights the truth that we can't save anybody. But friend, when we get a burden, if our family, if our loved ones, if our neighbors, if our friends knew our desire and saw the burden of our brokenness, I'm asking you today to come before the Lord to pray that he'll give you a broken heart. I'm asking you this morning to pray that God will give you a burden for the lost. I'm asking you today, doesn't sound good, but to give you heartburn, to where your heart will burn for the longing of the salvation of others. Will they hear you? Sometimes maybe. Sometimes maybe not. Jesus warned in Matthew 10, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own household." Will they be saved? I can't answer that. But I can tell you this, God is able to save whosoever he desires to save. We're broken, we're burning, burdened, when we're burning with passion, I believe we'll see the salvation of the lost. And friend, God could set our church on fire. And I'm not saying we need to do it to set our church on fire. We need to do it to build the kingdom of God so that when life does end, we can rejoice in all those who accepted Christ and died and went to heaven.